on our Tuesday night celebration of life. As we go through these qualities, some of you have been here and gone through a few of them before, through coaching programs and otherwise, we come together on Tuesday night to take a look at these specific measurements in this quality, to have a better understanding of what's happening so that we can more clearly hear our own thought processes, and take the action necessary to start shifting them. We are going to become conscious long before we create new habits, and new habits once formed can be easily broken. All we have to do is drop them. We want to keep reinforcing them. We do know that as we're sitting here in this observer's chair, looking over there at that other chair, at those other unhealthy habits of thinking, that some of them really want to pull us off our chair. And this is a series of thought processes that can do a really good job of yanking us off of our chair. So everybody, pull out a pen and a paper. If you've got your assessment handy, if not, take some notes. I'll talk about specific measurements for a moment because I want us to have a better understanding. And if we have any conversations going on in the background, just press *6 on your line, and that'll mute out the background noise. And that way I can keep the line open for everyone tonight. Because as we're going through this assessment, these measurements, enjoy in the journey, are most often the result of the thought processes we have in mental creation. Not always, but the vast majority of the time, these are the result of. Mental creation, if you'll remember, is where we go in our mind when we're thinking about how we would like our life to be. How we think we should be showing up in that vision of possibility. Whether we're starting to feel a lot of obligation and thinking that we have to do this, or we need to do this, or we must do this, or it's got to be done perfectly, or we're already feeling exhausted before we actually take any action. Just thinking about everything that needs to be done. So that's just thinking about the thinking. That's mental creation. And the great evidence that tells us whether or not we're using vivid visualization constructively is in our measurements for joy in the journey. So I'm going to walk through each one of these measurements, share with you a little bit about them. If you've got your assessment handy, that'll be very helpful because I would love to answer specific questions anyone may have because everybody's results are different. Now, there are some tendencies that are similar, but everybody's exact results are very different. In Joy in the Journey, there are 6 measurements. The first one is grateful. Grateful. Now, this measurement isn't am I or am I not grateful. It's just what is your first thought process when life shows up differently than you hoped it would? What's our first thought process? And our first thought process is driven by our thought process. If we expected it to be easier, if we've been spending time driving around a fantasy Ferrari, and let me just have a little hyperbole for a moment, a little exaggeration, that fantasy Ferrari, and all of a sudden our old car breaks down, transmission blows up, and we don't have money to fix it, what's our first thought? Do we go, oh, good, another experience? Or is it just a grand disappointment? Is it a frustration? Is it a impediment, if you will, to where we thought we would get today? Are we enjoying this journey, or is this everything that happens in this tangible world in which we live? Let's join the journey. It's our tangible world. Is everything an interruption? Because think about this. We have a tendency to hold the now, this tangible world in which we live, hostage to our expectations. However, our expectations exist only in our mind, and tangible reality is the place in which we live. This is where we do the work. This is where we actually create the result. But we hold it hostage to something that exists only in our mind. So just be with this for a moment. Go, wow, as you're looking at these measurements, my intrinsic love for my life, How often am I missing that opportunity because it's showing up differently than what my mind has already seen, vividly visualized, and quite often created as an alternate reality? What's happening to me? If you're grateful is orange or red, just look down at mental creation and see is goal-oriented red? Is honor or orange or red? Honorable orange or red? Self-direction orange or red? Pragmatic orange or red? Is something happening down there that I'm bringing into reality that's creating this? What we discover most of the time, not always, most of the time, is that our life is only awful in comparison to where we want it to be. If you can write that down, it would be great to have in writing. Our life is only awful in comparison to where we want it to be. If we took away the expectations we've created in our mind, and we could just be fully present with those we love, committed companion, children, friends, and we became very conscious of how the rest of the world lives, what they have or don't have, if we're involved in service with people who have a lot less, we would come home and feel so differently about what we do have. It's just awful when compared with what our mind wants us to be. Now, some people are actually in circumstances that are awful. But once we've cleaned everything else away, generally it's not that bad. But there are some exceptions, and I want to acknowledge those. Someone who may be in an abusive relationship, where there's an expectation that's reasonable, that a mate should be kind and unselfish and gentle, and is not. We may have someone who, my daughter called me today and just in tears. She's got a dear friend and neighbor, 27-year-old man, new baby a year ago, who has been struggling with leukemia. It's been in remission. And today they discovered that it's back, and with a vengeance. And he just doesn't know if he's got the energy to go back through another bone marrow transplant, through the chemotherapy, and is it even worth it? Oh, he's just so spent. And she just loves his wife, their dear friends, and just so moving. That could make us go, ugh, and understandably so. That's a really traumatic, difficult circumstance. Now, people who can rise above that are superhuman, Herculean, incredible individuals. But that's a circumstance, for an example. Someone stole your identity and transferred money out of your bank account, left you flat, broke, and busted, and losing all of everything you owned. You know, those kinds of things, those circumstances are very real. Most of the time, however, those things that weigh us down are simply because of the difference between tangible reality and what our mind has seen so clearly, that expectation. That's why it is so important to us. And that's not the only measurement affected like that. This is just the most important one. That we go back to mental creation and we say, wow, next time we come around this, and you can do it before, but next time we come around, I've got to be hyper-vigilant about using my mind constructively, to mentally rehearse a possibility, get an inspired idea, take action, that I'm using my mind to help me get ideas about what I can create in tangible reality instead of using it to escape, to bring an expectation that leaves me frustrated with life. Big difference between those two approaches. I don't want to beat up a dead horse. I don't think you beat up a dead horse. I think you beat a dead horse. I don't want to beat a dead horse. No? Yes?
Oh, yes.
Oh, yes. That would be awesome.
Totally.
That. Absolutely. This would be exciting. So we have all of that stuff. Then we show up here, and the second measurement is persistent. And the risk is when it starts to turn orange is that we are starting to focus too much of our energy, our mind, while we're here in tangible reality. And how do I make money? How do I make money? Well, money is the outcome of solving other people's problems, helping other people get what they need, and we'll get what we want, right? Famous quote. However, if we start focusing on money, it's been my experience that money runs away when we start chasing it. So let us not chase money. Let us find ways to serve and find value in what we're doing. That's what persistence is about. I find value in what I'm doing, and I am persistent. Even when things get difficult, I persist until I succeed. This is scroll number 3. I will fight through. I will hone my skills as the mariner does by riding out the wrath of the storm. Young bulls are tested for the fight arena in a certain manner. Each is allowed to attack a picador who pricks them with the lance, and the bravery of each bull is rated based on his willingness to charge in spite of the sting of the blade. I'm not a sheep who needs to be prodded by a shepherd. I'm a lion. This is an incredible scroll. Scroll number 3, I'll persist until I succeed. That's what this measurement's about. I will do whatever is necessary to create success. And if we can tie to that in the service of others, we don't have to focus on money. That's a fun one. Now stop me anytime you've got a question about your assessment. Third measurement's effective. This is a fascinating measurement. The math is about schedules. How well can I manage the linear time I have in a day? What do I do with my time? What time do I get up? What do I do when I get up? Do I do the things that are most important in the day? How well do I execute on each one of those things in my schedule? That's about being effective with the use of my time. That's why we use the word effective. I'm not being efficient, I'm being effective. I'm actually creating something with my time. It matters what I do. When this measurement starts to turn orange, what's happening is my mind wants me to schedule enough in the day to create today what it's already seen. It's called frenetic, non-goal-directed activity. In simple terms, it's a chicken with its head cut off. It's a dog chasing its tail. It's being busy, 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 always busy, always exhausted, never sure what's happening in terms of moving everything forward. It's just crazy. I'm trying to cram it all in. I'm trying to do so much because my mind wants to have so badly that which it's seen. Well, when we try to create today what the mind has already seen as a possibility, there's a very good chance we won't get anything done very well. We won't be effective. We'll just be busy. So if this is orange, it's an invitation to slow down a little bit. Be still for a moment. Put together a plan of what can be created in the day. And watch this thought process say, but that's not fast enough. But what happens if I need more money than that? Then we need to change our lifestyle. That's what it means. Because there's only so much we can do in a linear day. Now, I know my day is 14 hours today. But I'm kind of used to that. Some people may, that may be too much for some, may not be enough for others. You want to pace yourself based on your strength, not run faster than you have strength. My first session this morning was at 6 o'clock. A few phone calls, we get done here tonight, and then we get to wrap up the day. What a beautiful, incredible day, filled with amazing sessions with beautiful human beings. Oh, what an incredible day. Using that wisely, making every minute count, not letting one drop spill upon the sand. That's being effective. That's not being a chicken with her head cut off. So let's take a look at that and make sure that we're not doing that. Realistic. If you've got this measurement of orange or red, I'll give you the visual. And some of you have heard this before, so just be with this. I use the example of a canyon where there's a rim on the other side and there's a rim on this side of the canyon. And we have visited in our mind the other rim. And that's where the pot of gold is, if you will. That's where all the things that we'd like to have. That's where the cars are parked that we'd like to drive and the house we'd like to live in. They're on the other side. They're on that other rim. We visited there in our mind, but now we're in tangible reality. And we don't know how to build the bridge from here to there. We just want to be there. Can you feel that anxiety? We just want to be there. So we step back. We'll talk about some of the steps as we go into physical creation. And tonight, and come with some of the steps where we take the clay we've been given, and we begin to create the most we can with it, one step at a time, 1 millimeter at a time, because every bridge is built that way. Bridges don't just come into existence. They're built one piece at a time. Now, this whole series of thought processes can be very frustrated because of that requirement. But we step back and go, this you and I, all of us step back and take a look over there at mental creation and say, wow, you have really messed up my tangible reality. You put such expectation. It's impossible to do in linear time what you see. I've got expectations of perfectionism, of creating this in a week and doing that. It cannot be done. So we get to step back now and start putting realistic expectations on what it takes to create that which our mind has seen. I spend hours with initial coaching clients who've got grandiose plans. Og said, I will call on 10 who can buy my goods while the failure makes grand plans to call on 1. I will say that it is done before the failure says it is too late. When we want to get the big home run, then you have the guys just swinging at the balls and hitting singles and doubles and triples and making lots and lots of money, while the other guy's just trying to hit a home run. That's realistic. Diligent. Now we're getting into another mathematical measurement. Diligence says, okay, I'm doing stuff. What happens when stuff gets in the way of my doing? Stuff. Like a lack of money, or a car that's broken down, or a suit that has the seat splits open on my way someplace, or I'm having a bad hair day, or physically, my body doesn't feel good today, or I'm tired, or those kinds of things. What happens when something gets in the way of my doing? Just think about that. I missed my alarm clock this morning. It didn't go off, and so I'm late to the office. What is our tendency? Now, there are two different options here. We can go either direction if it's orange. Or red. I'm looking at one right now that's red. One option is that we actually allow those things to happen. I'm negotiating a new contract for a new employee for one of my clients who is habitually late. In a very prestigious firm, in a very prestigious position, but he can't show up on time. His is the other side. He's got an excuse. Well, it's the train's fault. It's a power outage fault. It's always somebody else's fault that thing happened. So just take a look at diligent, if it's orange or red, and say, gosh, how often am I Instead of taking responsibility and accountability, I'm blaming on one hand, or I'm allowing on another. I'm allowing that to happen. I'm allowing that to happen. Just take a look at that and see, because in the doing of, things are going to get in the way. It's guaranteed. It's going to happen. Things will happen. My sweetheart's sitting here today. Anything happened today that got in the way of anything for you? Ramona said, oh, yeah. Ramona went and saw a grandchild today and went out and had ice cream. That sounds like fun. I went and donated platelets. How many bags did you donate today? Huh, she donated 2 bags of platelets. They call her the two-bagger. And she did 3 last time. But I'm sure in all of that, there's time constraints. There's other things that are happening. Things get in the way. How do we flow with that? Do we get upset every time it happens? Or do we know that's just part of life? We have someone in our family that's always late. Always late. And it's interesting, I'll call to see where they are. He'll tell me the street he's passing. And I know he's 5 miles away from that street. I just know it. Now, I probably shouldn't say that to anybody so openly. What is our perception? How do we handle things that get in the way? How do we handle those? That's diligent. Vigilant. Vigilant is an extremely important measurement. If you want to know mathematically the importance, the two bookends, grateful and vigilant, have more mathematical value than everything else in the middle. They're the highest on the end. It gets less and less and less as you get to the middle. So grateful and vigilant. High. This is very high. This is a really important measurement. When this measurement starts to turn orange or red, more often orange, it's quite often orange. Matter of fact, it's orange 94% of the time with entrepreneurs. Because entrepreneurs have such an expectation for how they would like life to be that seldom are they satisfied with their life in tangible reality in terms of value. Is what I'm doing of value? In our mind, we can see ourselves doing things that are so much more important. I just know I'm meant to do something so much more important. And one of the great risks is we end up with a greener grass on the other side. Somebody ask a question?
I was going to. This is Linda.
Hi.
You mentioned that grateful and diligent were... Would you go back over that one more time, please?
Oh, sure. Grateful and vigilant. If this were put on a scale, in every one of these categories, the first and the last measurement are the most significant. In this case, it's grateful and vigilant. Those are the two most important. Vigilant. They're the bookends. Then you've got in between that persistent...
Right, okay.
And diligent, they're the next most important. Then in the middle is effective and realistic. They're all important, but mathematically, the most significant ones on the outside, and as you work your way toward the middle, they become less and less mathematically significant. So when we look at grateful, if grateful is orange or red, that's really serious. That's saying, wow, what are we doing with our expectations that makes this so awful? Then we start asking those questions. Is it awful only in comparison to where my mind wants me to be? Or are there some really awful things that are happening? I talked to a new person today, and they bought a business. They owned part of it by the will from the family, and they bought the rest of it from the brothers and sisters in 2006. This particular business was hypersensitive to the economy and gas prices. Guess what happened to the business in 2008?
Started suffering?
It started suffering until it just crushed it. By 2010, they lost the business. Now, if I told you this person's age and and all the money that was lost, and now they're at the certain age in life where you're starting to lose energy, and there's, it's like, I don't have a whole lot of time left, and now they're facing at least 10 or 15 years of work, probably 10 of those past the normal working ages, just exhausted. That's something very real. Now, we learn how to take that circumstances and create the most we can with it. But most of the circumstances we're facing are, we don't like it because our mind wants us to be somewhere else. We want to be in a different financial situation or house or car or whatever. Relationship, more peace, less stress, etc. So grateful is a sensitive measurement. Vigilance, the other one that's sensitive. And that's the one I'm just getting ready to explain. Because vigilant, we're just going, wow, is my life really meaningful? What I'm doing with it, what I'm doing as a career, if I'm a mother, if I'm a dentist, am I a surgeon, am I a laborer, whatever it might be, is this all? Is this it? Gosh, am I just going to die and get buried in that grave over there and that's the end of it? Vigilant can be screaming out, I know I meant to do so much more. Now, is that a bad thing? Linda, do you think? Is that a bad thing?
No. I don't think it's a bad thing.
No, it's not a bad thing. The only time it's a bad thing is when we start going to that greener grass piece, where we go across the world and move, you know, everything we own to Africa to go feed the hungry because we think we're going to find spiritual meaning there. Now, I happen to think that's a very worthy thing to do. But the challenge is if we bring all of our negative thought processes with us to Africa, pretty soon we hate that too. Here's a clue for everyone with vigilant. It doesn't matter as much what we're doing as how we're choosing to do it. We get stuck in society on what we do. I'm going to invite us all to start thinking about how we do it. In other words, we want to go save the world, but we're not respectful of the person who works next to us. We're not stepping into their world, listening to them, intrinsically validating them. We might have a customer that we're a little short with because we're feeling frustrated, but we want to go across the planet to serve people. That's when we're in trouble. It's the message, stand tall and serve where you stand. Before we make any drastic shifts in our life, let us start practicing these principles where we're currently standing and see if it doesn't change the context of how we feel about it. We don't all need to be a star on the stage. We all watched the Academy Awards on Sunday night. That was quite inspiring. But we don't all have to be an Academy Award-winning actress or actor to have value. Matter of fact, some of the most powerful, beautiful people on this planet serve others quietly. And they find tremendous joy in the journey by the service they provide and not by the recognition they receive. So if our vigilant is orange or red, let us begin practicing the principles of intrinsic validation where we are currently standing and see if it shifts how we feel. It may. And if it doesn't, we'll be better prepared to then make a different option, different choice. Well, I'm going to open this up in just 1 second because I want to share with you some principles for shifting some of this. I think I'm just going to do that. First thing, how many of you have a day job and also a private home-based business? Anybody have one of those that's on the phone with us tonight?
I have a part-time job and a home-based business I'm trying to get going.
Okay, great. So part-time job. Because I often hear people when they have a job, I've heard the reference, I've got a W-2 job, and I've got a business I want to have. And we often are frustrated by the job and wish we could do our part-time business full-time. Tonight, my message is really simple on this issue. Fall back in love with what you're doing in your job, part-time, full-time. Fall back in love with it. Just love it. Some might ask why. A couple of simple reasons. One, if there's something we dislike about our part-time job, and we were actually able to do what we'd like to do full-time, we'll find out some of those same elements are here too. And we'll start to dislike the next place we are. So we fall in love with so that we can do those things no matter where we are. Number two, it takes more energy to play half speed, to hold back. We have in our nation a very scary thing happening where someone says, well, don't ask me, it's above my pay grade. Or they don't pay me enough to do that. What a tragedy. Because when we're playing half speed, we're pouring all of our energy into only doing so much. And the person we're robbing is ourself. Because it's not about the money. And it's not about the recognition once we've agreed to a pay scale. It's about, do we spend the day with our true self, our natural genius and goodness? Or do we use our thought processes to hold back and play half speed? The chemicals, the molecules that are released in the body when we're playing half speed will fatigue and wear out the muscles. Very literally, physically wear us out. When we're playing full speed, we've jumped in, and all of us is showing up. We get those inspired ideas. We act on them. Oh, we get that sense of accomplishment. Whether we're paid for it or not, we feel better about ourselves. That's the gift we give to ourselves, is no matter where we are always intentionally creating our life by how we show up. Number three, when we are holding back or we're angry and or we're frustrated, we start to get some cortisol releases in the body, which also wear out our cells. And we start to shut down what is called practical judgment and empathy, our prefrontal cortex, our memory center. And we could actually hurt somebody, emotionally or otherwise. We may say things that we regret. We may get into damage control. We may lash out at a boss. We may get ourselves fired from a job we really do need. So we want to be on our very best behavior. That's an important piece. Number four, we want to look at the jobs that we have. Even if we're not fully employed, we might be working part-time or full-time in a job less than our qualifications. So we get to pour all of us in. And we find the cream rising to the top. And if it doesn't where you are, it will eventually when it comes time to move. There is something about fully maximizing our gift that creates that kind of recognition. Now, there are places in this country where, I won't say unions. I'm not a big fan of unions. Because it's don't work too hard, you're going to make us look like fools. We lose the individuality of expression of excellence. That's a real danger in our country right now. We're all becoming kind of all equal. And that's not entrepreneurialism at its finest. So we want to fall back in love with what we're doing so that all of us can show up, so we can fully maximize, so that we can be filled with ligands and neuropeptides that actually bring energy to our body instead of deplete. Because if you've got another business to work, you know that you've come home a few nights and you got that chair sitting there. And if we've been angry, frustrated, overwhelmed, we sit down in the chair and we're exhausted. And we convince ourselves that we're going to work our business tomorrow night. Tonight I'm just going to rest. And the truth is, there is no such place as tomorrow night. Because 24 hours from now, it's still tonight. 24 hours after that, it's still tonight. It's always tonight. Now, if we have been going full speed, fully maximizing our ability, creating sunshine everywhere we are, we're the recipients of it too. We come home and we're still energized. There's a better chance that we'll get out of that chair and go work the business. Much better chance. So we want to fall in love with what we're doing. We never wanted to mean this. What we're doing is the island on which we live and the bridge to the next adventure. We can't get there without a bridge. It's paying the bills, or helping to pay the bills. It's a critical piece of the equation. Let us respect it for what it is. So that's a critical piece of finding joy in the journey, is falling back in love with what we're doing. The greener grass syndrome. The grass is never greener. When people go over there and they take all their thoughts with them, what they discover is that nothing's changed. They look back at where they were and now it looks greener. So serve where you stand. I want to open up this to any questions. There are some other pieces here in terms of gratitude and handling hard times and managing times that we'll want to spend a few minutes on. Does anybody have a question about their assessment or what I've shared so far tonight? Any thoughts? I've got a question for all of you to explore. What impact do you think having joy in the journey is going to have on your willingness to do the work of creation?
Hi.
What do you think?
Good. How are you? It's good.
What do you think? We have a quiet group tonight.
Dave.
Yes?
Can we give it to Chelsea?
Hi, Chelsea.
Hi. You said, what was the exact question that you just said?
Question was, what impact is finding joy in our journey? This is the world we live in, and I'm loving my life, or I'm frustrated about everything in it. What impact is that going to have on our ability to do the work?
On our ability to actually do the work. That is what I'm, where I'm at and what I'm struggling with. And I honestly don't know. I have more red in my joy in the journey category than in any other. And I was just if you have any words for me that would give guidance and direction, I would just love to hear them, because I do have grass is greener syndrome, and I do feel like going back to where I was would, I would be more efficient and be better and be able to do better, and I currently don't have any joy in my journey.
Well, you're so brave. Thank you. Can I reach you the phone and give you a hug?
Yes, thank you so much. I accept your hug, and I'm hugging back.
Oh, thank you. Have you got your assessment there in front of you?
Yes, I absolutely do.
Okay, take a look at mental creation, and just tell me the colors. You can just go, just say them off, the six colors in the order. What are they?
So green, orange, red, red, green, red. Under mental creation.
Okay. Green, orange, red, green, red.
Correct.
Okay. Let's walk through a couple of those. Now, you're so gracious to be on the phone. If we hit a nerve and it's personal, we don't need to go there, okay?
Okay.
Let's walk through a couple of things. Because these thought processes you just shared with me will drive the colors of joy in the journey. If
okay.
we can understand these, we can start to apply some principles to shift the joy.
Okay.
Let's start with the very last red. It's in the measurement resolute.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. When resolute turns red, it just says, I'm uncomfortable. This thought process is making a commitment to go in any specific direction. Now, I'll give you some examples of places to look. Relationships. Is this really who I want to be with for the rest of my life?
That's exactly what's going on.
Okay. Okay, so you know that piece. It can be a career path. And quite often, Chelsea, it shows up as we get a little bit older, and we're starting to see that we don't have time or resources to make mistakes. So we're not sure which direction we ought to go because we don't have the room to make a mistake again, because that's how we view it. Resolute is a systemic thought that means all or nothing. As one person said to me once, I don't know that I want to be a school teacher for the next 30 years.
Yeah.
Because she viewed that choosing school teacher was a 30-year commitment.
Mm-hmm.
But she only signed an annual contract.
Right.
But it's all or it's nothing. So just take a look at relationships. Take a look at career paths. Look at belief systems in terms of political beliefs or religious beliefs. You know, people start to question those kinds of pieces. Does God live or is there no God? You know, I don't know if I got a commitment. I grew up this way. I don't know if I want to go that way. So it could be that as well. So just take a look at those pieces. If it's relationship, that's a tough one.
It is absolutely relationship and career.
And career, both of them.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's because I haven't finished school.
Oh, okay. Is it because you didn't finish it or haven't finished?
Still working on it.
Okay. I say that because some people get to an age where they say, I really can't afford to go back anyway. You know, I didn't finish college. Well, there's no such thing as didn't finish, just haven't finished. Because we
right.
can always finish. How much longer have you got to go to school?
It depends. That's part of the confusion. anywhere from 2 to 6 years.
Do you have a sense of the level of passion you're experiencing in the area that you're currently studying?
I have a sense of it, but my passion really lies in my business.
Which business?
USANA.
USANA, okay. So your passion is in USANA. Who's driving you to get the education?
I'm on a student visa, so I have to be in school while I'm in
okay.
the USA.
Okay, that makes sense. So
yeah.
that's part of the requirement to be here.
Yes.
Okay. And so you take a look at education, just a couple ideas, because this can apply for anybody who's on the phone who's got a question about a job. It could be the same thing. Your education, in a way, is part of your career path right now, is it not? It's part of your eligibility to be here. It's a requirement. So we either look at it as have to, should, must, you know, a lot of obligation, or I say, I'm a student. I love to learn. I'm going to become a sponge. And I start taking a class, and maybe I go beyond the requirements for the class to explore other possibilities that may, in fact, open up opportunities for my USANA business.
True.
And all of a sudden, the coolest person you've ever met, you met in the library.
Right.
Or you're talking to this medical student, and you get into a discussion one day about whether they really want to be a doctor, maybe they're getting ready to graduate, they're getting ready for their internship. They say, the only reason why I'm here is my father's here. My father's a doctor. I don't like medicine. Really? And you start talking about how they could use their training, their understanding of physiology, and hopefully nutrition, what little they might have gotten in medical school.
Mm-hmm.
And you start introducing them to your business and how they could use what they know to do this too. And all of a sudden they get excited about what you're doing, and you've given them something for them to feel passionate about. And it would have never happened if you had not embraced what you're currently doing.
Yeah.
I'll give you the coolest example I ever heard. I had a coaching client say in a group that he was working for a car dealership selling cars. And he said it was the most negative place on the planet. That's not hard to imagine because there's a lot of places like that. And he got into a multi-level marketing business and fell in love with it. It was so fun. It's like he finally found a purpose. And he said, I went to work and I was just sunshine. And everybody wanted to know what was going on. He said, I'd made a commitment not to sell people at work. His manager, this grumpy woman, came in to him and said, what are you doing? Well, I really can't tell you. She came in for several days, and one day she walked in and set her checkbook on the desk and said, how much does it cost to get in?
No way.
He told her. She wrote the check, handed it to him, and said, okay, now tell me what you're doing. When we show up like sunshine, wherever we are, we're attractive. This is one of the challenges we have with people who hate what they do, or they're just going to school to go through the motions because they have to for a visa or whatever, and I'm not really committed. It's written all over their face, and they are missing multitudes of opportunities to connect with human beings who are as lost and are looking for someone who looks like they found the way. Does that make any sense at all, Chelsea?
Definitely.
So show up differently tomorrow to that. If you're going to go to school tomorrow, show up in love with being a student. Show up in love with being with people. And step into their world and listen to them and take down their walls of resistance and find out what's really important to them. And I can promise you next Tuesday when you come to this class, you'll be reporting somebody new in your business that you would have never found any other way. You open to that challenge?
Absolutely. I feel as though I do that. I can do it better, though.
Okay, just amp it up a little bit.
Okay.
More consciously take it up that level. Just be the person who loves the school and loves the training. So I went to that one first because it can be the one that creates the energy that is not attractive. That's a risk.
Right. Yes.
The next red one up is coachable. It just says, these thought processes have been here for a while. This isn't something new. You've been dragging these around with you. And coachable doesn't really want to change.
Right.
To just know that. You go up to that, you go into goal-oriented, you've got an enormous gift to vividly visualize. Oh, when we get to constructive ways of thinking, and I know we did this during your training, you're absolutely going to want to practice mental rehearsal, inspiration, exploration, planning, goal-setting, problem-solving. Because if you don't, goal-oriented is going to eat you alive because its natural default is fantasy and catastrophe. That's its natural default. It's so busy. It's so vivid, so active. If you don't direct it, you ever seen a big fire hose that's so powerful it blows walls down? You know what I'm talking about? This is like a giant fire hose. You want to point it in a direction that makes sense, because if you don't, it's going to be blowing up parts of your life. And by the red that's in your joy in the journey, it suggests it may be pointed in the wrong direction occasionally. Your orange, an honorable is saying perfectionism. No matter what you do, it's never quite good enough. Unrelenting, unyielding, pursuit of the unachievable. You bring that into the here and now, what's the likelihood that anything in the tangible world is going to turn out perfect? What's the chances that you're going to show up and do it perfectly?
Not likely.
Not likely. Has there ever been anyone out of the billions of people lived on this planet who's a full mortal, so we qualify that for religious reasons, a full mortal who's ever been perfect? Anyone?
No.
No, never. But have some fun with this. And I think I probably shared this in your coaching class, but for the benefit of others who may not have heard it, here you are, Chelsea, you're the first perfect human being. You performed perfectly. And the whole world is gathering in one place for the celebration. Billions of people have flown in. They're going to celebrate. And they're just about ready to announce you. And this measurement, Honorable, shows up and says, time out! What is going on here? Someone turns to him and says, Chelsea was perfect. We're celebrating her perfection. The Honorable says, so what? That's what I expected. Get back to work. If you ever got there, you wouldn't even be able to celebrate it because that's the bar. That's what you're requiring. So we get back to a conversation about, let's just do it excellently. Let's show up in tangible world doing the best we can. And let that be good enough. Let us show up in tangible reality with a goal-oriented that's focused on getting an inspired idea, so I'm passion-driven here and not frustrated by what's not here. Let me tell Coachable to shut up so I can think about this differently, so I can have that outcome. And let me take a look at this commitment, and let me not talk myself into a relationship I may know I shouldn't be in. And if that's true, the sooner it's ended, the better. You don't want to drag a bad thing out long. Or, if it's a lack of commitment, make the commitment where you can be 100% in and see what it does to the relationship. When you're 100% in, it could shift everything.
Right.
If it doesn't, then you get to make a new decision. To be all in is not a death sentence. It's just I'm going to put everything I've got into it. It's not even time certain. It's not for a certain period of time. You just put it all in. And you'll know if it's not working. It's not all or nothing, right or wrong, win or lose. It's let's see what we can create. Now, so we take those measurements, and we bring them into joy in the journey. Give me your six colors in joy in the journey.
Sure. Red, orange, red, red, green, orange.
Yeah, ooh.
That's why I had to ask, because I'm just lost. I look at it and I see that's where I'm struggling, and I'm living it.
Yeah, you are. Okay. Let's have some fun with the easiest one to talk about: persistence. How are things financially?
Not where I want them to be, not where I...
Could be better, in case.
Not
so
where
we're focusing on that piece. And in your sauna business, you never want to be financially oriented when you're talking to a person, because that just puts a big dollar sign on them or a target on them, and we're not really listening. We just want them to sign up and buy product, and, you know,
right.
We miss all the things that would cause them to want to buy, because we're focused on the wrong thing instead of focused on the person. Just remember that when you're in tangible reality dealing with a person, focus on their needs. This is going over to the left-hand side of your assessment, top section, connection.
Yes.
Pretty clear up there?
Yes.
Yeah. Pretty clear up there.
Mm-hmm.
This is the gift you bring to persistent. You focus on doing the work while honoring the people.
Okay.
Just bring the honor of the people into the doing the work. You'll have so much more joy in the process. be tenacious about listening. Be persistent about finding empathetic questions to ask. That's the kind of persistence we're talking about.
Okay.
It's not about work, 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 money, money, money. It's about really focus on serving. Serve, no matter what happens, serve. No matter what you get, no matter how badly you get pricked by the picador who's going to stick you with the lance, you just keep showing up in service. That's the second measurement.
Yeah.
That's the solution for the first one. To grateful, I want you to hold your hands out and hold this block of clay that's called you.
Okay.
Okay.
Yes.
Do you ever reflect on your circumstances and say, I don't want this?
Yes.
And I'm asking you that because I can tell you there are 20 people on the phone who just went yes with you on mute.
Absolutely.
They just did. I'm looking at the chair where a friend of mine sat just last night saying, I don't want this clay. I don't want this clay. You know what I said to him?
What?
So what?
So what? Fair enough.
Nobody cares.
No one does care.
It's not that they don't want to. They're just so busy dealing with their own problems, dragging around their own sack, trying to look okay. We want people feeling sorry for us. This is just awful. You know, nobody really understands everything that I'm going through. Well, it's time for us to stop trying to find that because we'll never get it unless we hire a coach or a therapist who's there to show up for us. That's their task. That's their responsibility. Normal people aren't going to show up for us in that circumstance. We have the responsibility. This is an awesome moment for you to take a look at my clay. This is speaking of you. Here I am, Chelsea, looking at my clay. And I don't want this clay. I want her clay.
Uh-huh.
His clay. I want to be somebody else, somewhere else, doing something different. But guess what? That is not an option. And the longer we even spend a moment thinking like this, the less joy we find in the journey, the more frustration we find in our lives, the more discouragement, the more we compound the problems in our own clay. The only solution, and trust me, if there were a different one, I would have found it. When I was in the moment where I did not want this clay, I didn't want this clay.
Uh-huh.
Is to say, this is my clay. This is my clay. Now, at first, be prepared to be a little discouraged. Because you're cutting off all other options. It's called, I'm going to be committed to my clay. I'm going to own my clay. And the word commitment means to cut off options. In this case, I'm cutting off options that aren't options. I don't have an option of her clay or his clay. I can use my credit cards, home equity lines, I can borrow money, I can spend, I can do everything in the world to try to have somebody else's clay, but this is my clay. So I'm going to choose my clay. I'm going to own it. Now, if you'll make this decision tonight, Chelsea, if you'll make this decision, this is my clay, you're going to discover some really powerful and beautiful principles. You ready for the first
cool.
one?
Yes.
Here's the very first one. This is for everybody on the phone, but especially for you. We don't always see how magnificent we are until we stop focusing in other places. When this is all we look at, this is our clay. We don't glance over there, because this is what we have. We're surprised to discover some of the really cool things in this clay. We don't see our gifts until we own them. Now, do we have some warts in here? I call them burps and farts. Excuse the expression, but it's kind of
That's
a fun
funny.
One. You know, we do. We just have them. It's just part of life. So we take this clay. Now, one of the great secrets in life about this clay issue is that we are supposed to want more. we get into trouble is when we want more of somebody else's quiet.
Right.
That's when we get into fantasy and then into catastrophe. But we take our clay and we're going to say, I'm going to create the most I can with my clay. Now I can tell you you're absolutely in congruence with the power that governs creation. You okay with that?
Yeah.
Okay. It's absolutely in agreement. You're congruent. Because now you're honoring the gift. And by taking this gift, which is uniquely yours, there's a reason for it. You've been prepared for this moment in time by this clay. There are people you can serve that nobody else can serve as effectively as you, and they will be put on your path if you'll own the clay. And all of a sudden, people start getting put on your path who can serve you and who you can serve. Miracles start to unfold. You actually are given more clay. We do get more. But we only get it by owning what we have and then focusing, totally committed. That's that bottom measurement there in mental creation. Totally committed to creating the most I can with what I've been given. That's when we're given more clay.
Okay.
Isn't that a wonderful miracle? And as we're taking our clay and focusing on creation, we're mentally rehearsing. We get an inspired idea. It ignites our passion. We take our clay and we create the most we can of that vision. We start to find joy in the journey of creation. Because we've been trying to find joy in a destination. There's no such place. The only time there's a destination, we get in a car and drive to another city. That's a destination. But we don't drive our lives to a destination. We're constantly stretching and growing. And when we start to find joy in the stretching and growing, something starts to make sense. Now, here's the next piece. And you've got a couple of other measurements here that are red, realistic. We discover that it takes work. We also discover that occasionally we run into an obstacle. It's called sorrow. Sorrow. We experience sorrow. Like I was sharing earlier with my daughter and her neighbor, who probably won't make it through this round of leukemia. That's really sad. Gail Gibran, who wrote the book The Prophet, was discussing this topic, and he talks about someone playing a flute. He called it a lute, but you and I would know it as a little flute, a little wooden flute. Beautiful music, soothing music. But he says, was it not harrowed out by knives? Then he says, the cup with which you drink the wine, was it not fired in the oven? Then he says, our heart gets harrowed out, and the depth to which it gets harrowed out determines the amount of joy it will contain. It's a great discovery that when our mental creation wants to just have the good stuff. And I can read it to you. You've got a copy of Today I Begin a New Life.
Uh-huh.
In fantasy, no one has morning breath or body odor. No one passes gas or burps. There are always oodles of money and no bills to pay, no work to do, no schedule to keep. We never get ill or have any accidents. We never get discouraged, frustrated, disillusioned, or angry. Car never breaks down. We never have to work late. Nothing ever gets spilled. Everyone gets along. There's always love at home. Committed relationships are filled with courtship, romance, and intimacy. Babies never poop, throw up, or cry. Everyone does what they're supposed to do when they're supposed to do it. There's never an emergence, an imposition. The sun's always shining, and everyone drives courteously. That's not reality. In reality, Og says, I welcome obstacles that others have failed. Why would we welcome them? Because they just happen. And the question is, are they always going to be an imposition or a frustration? Or will we look at them as, I'm a student. I wonder what I can learn from this one. Now, that's idealistic, Chelsea, and I'm not always that way. I don't want to suggest that I am. Sometimes I'm just ticked off. I haven't got time for this today. That's true. And you step back from it, and you go, wow, there must be a reason. We had one of those this summer. We had a flat tire on a trailer. And I went, it's 8 o'clock. We're late for dinner. We've been on the lake all day. We're exhausted. We got a flat tire. If that flat tire had not happened right where it did, and the next morning it occurred while we're driving through the canyon, we'd have lost the boat, probably. I mean, things happen, and you look back at it and say, what a blessing that we got the flat tire then and not the next day. So we're driving home. Wow, that's cool. We start to look at our challenges differently because some of them show up just in time to teach us a lesson if we're looking to learn lessons. If we're looking to stretch and grow and not just get to a destination and frustrated that we just ran out of gas, so to speak. So this clay issue, I'm kind of driving it home because it applies to so much of these measurements. Make the decision tonight to look at your clay, take an inventory, and choose it.
Okay.
Then focus on creating the most you can with it. Probably the greatest thing you do. Know there's going to be sorrow in the journey. Know the grass is never greener. Fall in love with what you're doing so you show up with your smile. I remember our first conversation. Just came back to me. I know exactly where you are. It's all there. It's that simple. That's not simple to do, but it is that simple.
Okay. So you said choose clay, create the most I can with it. There will be sorrow in the journey. The grass is never greener.
It's never
fall
greener.
In love. Fall back in love with what you're doing.
Yeah. If you did those five things, one, you'd use your thought processes differently. You wouldn't keep thinking about how you'd like it to be. You'd be asking, instead of trying to escape to when it's wonderful, you'd use that gift to say, what could I create? How can I create that? How would that serve? And you're getting inspired ideas and you're acting on them. We're back to those five constructive ways of thinking. We want to get back into those. Spend some time with those so that you can start getting those inspired ideas. So again, instead of bringing frustration to the present because it's not showing up the way you'd like it to, you're showing up passion-driven action. You just used it differently. You get into passion-driven action, creating the most you can with your clay, and you'll create quicker what it is that you really want in your life. Because there's way too much energy in these red measurements being wasted in frustration. Do you agree?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a real time waster. Because it doesn't do anything. It doesn't solve any problems. It just compounds on itself. It's like a voracious animal. It just feeds on everything.
Mm-hmm.
The first thing it eats up is our energy.
Yep.
You were really helpful tonight. Anybody else is on the phone? Was this helpful for you, or is there anything else you'd like me to ask or add? Any questions anyone else would like to ask?
Well, Dave just joined again, and it was very helpful for me because I think if you look at my assessment, it's somewhat similar. But you know, when your bookends are, you know, not what they should be, it makes you wonder how effective the middle part can be towards getting that bookend to be. I guess more of a different color, you know, basically your green or your blue. And I'm not sure that's what it should be, but
enjoying the journey, I think you'd eventually want to have all this green and blue. In mental creation, if you've got a red or an orange goal-oriented, I wouldn't want to change it. I just want to manage it more effectively. It's a wild...
I don't have any red. I do have orange in mental creation, but I don't have any red. Basically green and orange.
Well, thank you. Brenda, thank you. Chelsea, thank you for your comments tonight. In preparation for next week, here's the sequence. Mental creation creates the expectation. We step into joy in the journey, and if life isn't showing up that way, we get frustrated. That's what those colors are all about. Now we're going to go up to self-esteem and see what impact it's having on self-esteem, because quite often when we've got red and or orange in mental creation and joy in the journey, we're starting to ask the question, what's wrong with me? What's wrong with me? And the measurements in, if we're asking the question, which is very common, we'll get to know exactly which questions you're asking. Is it about my worth and my worthiness? Is it about my ability? Is it about my belief systems? We can look up at self-esteem and look at the colors and know where the buttons are being pushed, very specifically where they're being pushed. We'll go back to mental creation needs to be shifted so I can start finding joy in the journey, so I don't stop beating myself up. Because the number one cause of self-esteem challenges is unmet expectations. Unmet expectation. So we'll have some fun next week going into self-esteem. And that's going to prepare us, all of us, to start back at connection. Because the way we heal self-esteem is we go back and we learn how to connect, to listen, and step into people's worlds. Then we learn how to use mental creation effectively. Then how to be in passion-driven action. Then we start working on discipline. We're back to joy in the journey and back to self-esteem. And every time we cycle through this, we want to get healthier and healthier and healthier. It is a journey in and of itself. So be prepared next week for us to go into self-esteem. And I think, Chelsea, you summed it up beautifully in your summary of the steps we're going to want to take. Let's take that clay. Let's start there, all of us, and say, what is it about this that I keep saying I don't want this? Because the longer we resist what is, the longer it's going to take to get in the creation of something different. Because we only get to create with the clay we have. And if we keep resisting it, we're avoiding creation of something better. So we own it so that we can use it to create that new thing. This is what we've been given. And then you're given more clay. Well, thanks, everyone. This has been a fun session. Appreciate everybody's input. It's wonderful when you come out and so vulnerable and transparent. Thank you so very much. We'll be back with you next Tuesday evening. Thanks, everyone. Just jump off of mute and say goodnight.
Good night, Dave.
Good night.
Thank
everyone.
You.
Good night.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Thank
Bye-bye.
You.
Bye-bye.